Hello, welcome to the podcast We're In Between, where we discuss one episode per week of As Told by Ginger in order. This is our sixth episode. Last time we talked about Of Lice and Friends.
Yeah, and so this week we'll be looking at episode 6, entitled Dare I, Darren, where we get our first look into Ginger's friend, Darren.
So last week we had a Dodie-centric episode, so this week we have a Darren-centric episode. Hopefully it'll be a lot more of a better experience. So thank you so much for listening, and we're in between. Someone once told
me the grass is much greener. I still need to watch all of this show in order.
There is a mixture of sadness, but at the same time, there's a mixture of a little bit of humor, which you can definitely expect in this series.
Every character has multiple dimensions, really.
Obviously, it's a scripted show, but they don't feel scripted. They feel real. They feel genuine.
If kids find value in things, I think there is value in them, because it is art in its own way, and it is very important.
Whatever it is, just own it. You know, love what you do and do what you love.
If it's cool to you, then, you know, who cares about what the others say? The episode we're going to be talking about is called Dare I, Darren. It was written by the creator herself, Emily Kapnick, and it aired on December 13th, 2000. And the episode is about Ginger wondering if Darren is more than just a friend to her after Miranda suggests that they make a really cute couple together. And so she decides to play around with the idea that maybe her and Darren are more than just friends. And in the meantime, we have Carl and Hoodsy's plot, in which it involves with Blake getting his tonsils removed. And so they decide to ask Blake's permission to see if they can borrow his telescope for the weekend, because they want to see if they can get their names more famous than their friend Brandon, who he thinks is more famous because of his monkey. And so they have a bet saying, like, we can be more famous than you are, and the winner gets the monkey.
Oh, where do we begin with Brandon?
Brandon is hands down one of the most annoying characters in this series. He is such a goody two-shoes that it makes you sick. It is like that scene in Adventure Time in which the troll is it Gravity Falls? I forget. But it's that one scene in which you see that little troll and it pukes out a rainbow. It's basically Brandon.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Part of me identifies with him, but I wasn't that extreme when I was his age.
He's a lot, to say the least.
But let's start with this video.
Oh my god. Yeah, it's like one of those educational about you videos, and it's called, like, You and Your Pituitary Gland, and it is, like, the most strange thing that's happening. And then there's this line that made me so uncomfortable. It was like,
oh my god, can we even read it?
Who's the hardest working gland with the most sex appeal? Why, the pituitary, of course. Watch as it secretes. And it's like in this sort of seductive voice that I'm like, what's happening? What are we watching?
I can't believe that made it into the show. It's so much.
Yeah, that is so crazy. I mean, this came out in 2000. So
yeah. You
have something like the pituitary gland where it's basically a gland that helps with your hormonal sex appeal, and they're mentioning this for a kid's show. You know, the same network that has SpongeBob and Fairly Odd Parents. You have something like As Told by Ginger talking about sex.
I think there are parents who got upset about SpongeBob because they thought SpongeBob and Patrick are implied to be gay. I remember that being something that happened. That's a total stretch, but this is literally happening in the show. There's no qualms about it. It just happens.
Yeah, well, then again, As Told by Ginger was pretty much overlooked when it came out, so I guess nobody really cared.
Yeah, so I guess that let him get away with it, which was, yeah, crazy. But
anyway, so yeah, I just want to really ask a lot of you guys, maybe for, especially with all of our listeners, when you were a kid or when you're in, you know, middle school, were you forced into watching these kind of, you know, old 1970s, 1980s feature films about, you know, this kinds of subjects, because when I was a kid and I wanted to learn about science and stuff like that, we always played like Bill Nye the Science Guy or the Magic School Bus or something. And then when I got older, we started seeing things that were from the Discovery Channel or something. If it was the year 2000, this thing is like clearly like almost 20 to 30 years old what they were watching.
Yeah, I was in elementary school in 2000, I believe. I would have been starting kindergarten in 2000, which is kind of weird. It was both. Like, we watched Bill Nye, we watched that kind of stuff, but there was also, like, weird, old, poorly acted science videos that honestly are kind of great now, watching them, because they're just so hilarious. But, yeah, they were definitely a thing.
Continuing forward, there's, I think it's pretty soon after this that Miranda suggests the couple thing, right, and sort of coincides with this weird video they're watching that leads into this, the whole theme of this episode, which is whether or not Ginger and Darren are actually just friends or more than friends, which I'm guessing this only gets further expanded as the series goes on, but I felt some vibes, for sure, from the two of them.
Darren's so great. He's so oblivious, too. He's a very typical middle school boy, just sort of like, oh, whatever. He's just here to hang and then doesn't really read into things at all.
No, he just clearly sees Ginger as not only a friend, but also, like, practically family, because they live next door. They've known each other pretty much all their lives, so the fact that Miranda is making this suggestion to Ginger that, hey, you know, Darren and you make a cute couple, then Ginger is kind of like thinking about it. And even Mipsy suggests that Dr. Fonfeeling says that, you know, friends start out as friends and then eventually they do have their relationships and then they become boyfriend and girlfriend. And then Ginger starts thinking more into it. And then we have the dream sequence where when Ginger is riding bikes with Darren, and, you know, she's sitting on the pedals. We see at first that she's talking to Darren about, oh, you're not going to believe what Miranda said about us. And then we cut into Ian. And then she's floating with the bike pedals. There's like this 1960s or 70s love ballad. And we have her floating by with Ginger and Darren saying, hey, you guys make a really cute couple. Then she enters the school and Miranda's holding the door for her. And then we cut into her flying into Darren's tooth. And she's kind of confused about the dream. She's wondering, is this really true? Are Darren and I meant to be more than just friends? And we do kind of see her questioning that throughout the episode.
Yeah, and again, I say this about the show all the time, but this is so real. Like, I feel like, one, all the time there's this sort of feeling of, like, are we just friends, are we not? And I think also you'll see a lot of times the suggestion of another person saying, like, oh, like, do you like so-and-so? Gets you, like, so in your head about it. You're like, no, but does it seem like I do? Do I? Like, what's happening? Especially when you're younger, you're kind of just trying to figure out, like, what any of this is. So just totally feel that confusion.
Yeah, when Kevin and I were first starting Old School Lane, we've received, like, maybe a comment or two saying, like, are you guys boyfriend and girlfriend? And I'm like, no, Kevin and I have known each other for 20 years. We're not that close. We see each other as brother and sister. I mean, maybe there was one time in which I did have something like that when I was in high school. But when I told Kevin this, he was like, I feel really uncomfortable. I cannot see you as us being together because you are my best friend. You are like a sister to me. And I'm afraid that if we start going out with one another and if we ever argue, then I'm afraid that our relationship's going to be over. So we never pushed it to another level. We stayed friends ever since. And Kevin has an amazing girlfriend, Christina, who I'm also really good friends with. And I'm not jealous whatsoever. We know our path in which we're friends, we'll always stay friends, and we're never going to go into that other level.
Yeah, I guess I should take this moment to quell the rumors of Ashley and I, no, of which there are none. that would be a mess. Oh, man. But yeah, you mentioned that, and I remember, I'm kind of surprised that we haven't really gotten any rumors, but our banter is, I think, indicates that that is not something that is possible.
But yeah, it's certainly a common issue amongst friendships and, you know, what things are. So feeling her confusion, and we'd see too, like, after this at the lunch table, she kind of like awkwardly like half flirts with him in, like, this really uncomfortable way, and Darren's just kind of like, why are you acting funny? Like, so clueless.
Oh, she gets so weird.
Yeah, she does get really weird. I really like the quote that Macy tries to bring up the excuse that when Darren is asking, why are you guys smiling? And then he says, oh, we're just talking about how terrific yesterday's chili dogs were.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's such an uncomfortable episode to watch because it's so real. Like, this episode took me back in a lot of ways. And I'll bet it does for a lot of people who watch the show of just, oh, man, it's so awkward navigating this time in your life. And Ginger does it better than most, but even she is an awkward, bumbling mess.
Ah, sounds terrific! Ah, that's so dumb!
I forgot about that, yeah.
But they nail it in this episode, too. They make it so, so believably awkward. You cringe, but just because it's a little too real. I guess real quick, we can give a quick back over to the B-plot, where Carl is talking about, well, Carl and Tootsie go over to Blake's place to try to get the telescope, and he's in the hospital getting his tonsils removed. So I think Carl debates stealing it, and Tootsie reads off like this rule of the new toy code, where he talks about how you can't play with somebody's new toy before they've played with it. And Carl's like, well, who wrote that? Like, who even cares about that? And Hootsie's like, you wrote it. Circa second grade. And just, like, I just love the way they interact.
The reverence they treat the written word and, like, their weird sort of legal system that they've devised is so entertaining to me.
Yeah, and so in order for Carl and Hootsie to get Blake's permission, they decide to write a get well card. And they get it from Ginger Stationery, and we see Carl and Hootsie thinking about what to write for Blake. And then you have Hootsie saying, some don't know what they got until it's gone, and me and Carl found out a little too late. And it sounds like, and he's like saying, it's a song, Carl, a really good song, the kind of song that makes people cry.
They're so good.
Yeah, I think there was like a reference to a song. I think there are some lyrics in which it's like, you don't know what you got until it's gone.
Yeah, it's a Joni Mitchell reference. That reveals so much about Hootsie's character that he listens to Joni Mitchell. His sensitive side is there, and it's out in the open.
Hootsie's one of the best characters.
Yeah, exactly. Going back into Ginger and Darren, so Darren gives the news that his brother Will works at the Cineplex, and he's going to give them 4 tickets to see the new Harley James movie. And so, you know, Dodie and Macy want to have Ginger go to the movie with just Darren because they fear that they're going to get in the way of their relationship. And Ginger's not really understanding on why, because she sees them as like, oh, even if we're in a relationship, we're going to be okay. We'll be as tight as ever. And they're kind of uncomfortable with that, which, oh boy, we'll get to that much later on. Anyway, so we have Ginger getting ready for the Cineplex, and she's in his dress, and Darren is still kind of confused on it. He's just thinking that, your pants are dirty? Well, that's too bad. We'll just take the bus. And then when asking about where Dodie and Macy's at, Ginger's like, oh, they can't make it. I hope you don't mind. And then he's like, why would I mind? And then she even says, that's so sweet, you big sweetie. And it's like, oh, God, it's even more awkward because she's trying to hammer it in that she's trying to see him more than just a friend. And he's just not getting it.
Right. Save your seat, D. Okay. Why is she like this?
Yeah, and again, you just see that Darren's uncomfortable with it, but not really understanding why it's so uncomfortable. Like, I don't feel like at this point it's occurring to him that it's any kind of flirting thing. He's just kind of like, God, she's being weird right now. Why is she being so weird?
Yeah, so then we go back to Carl and Hootsie. They're at the hospital, and they're seeing Blake laying down. And they're trying to wake him up so they can be able to be nice with him, trying to grovel him into convincing him to let them borrow the telescope. And even though that Blake is completely weak from getting his tonsils removed, he slowly gets up and he just yells out, no. And Carl and Hoodsy are feeling pretty defeated until they go into the room where the body parts are being held in mason jars, and they're treating this like they just went into Disney World. They're saying it's like the most magical place in the world. When Hoodsy finds Blake's tonsils, Carl has this little tear in his eye, like he had just found a toy that he's always wanted for Christmas at like 0.5%.
Yeah, it's a pretty magical moment for them, and you know, things in jars, as we saw the eyeball earlier, are very precious to them, so they're pretty thrilled about it, and now they have his tonsils, which I think they just have them at the end of the episode, is that right? Is this another one of those moments where we'll have to watch and see what happens?
Yes, trust me, the tonsils will be coming back.
I'm sure. Yeah, they're so gross. I do love when they first approach Blake on the hospital bed, Hoodsy puts on this, like, sort of parent voice or, like, owner talking to their dog, and he goes, hello there, friend! Hi! And it just made me lose it. I thought it was so funny. Oh, he's so weird and great.
Yeah. So we cut into the movie theater, and the tickets are completely sold out, and everybody's getting really disappointed until we see Will basically teasing Darren, saying, who's the best brother, and constantly teasing him and pushing him until he eventually gives him the tickets. So they have the four tickets, and they give two to Miranda and Ian. And Miranda knows that Ginger has a huge crush on Ian because in Sleep On It, that's when she confessed her love to Ian. And so she decides that, you know, she's going to try to get in with Ian to have a relationship, and also at the same time kind of push Ginger out of it. Kind of like pushing it into, like, I'm the one who's going to be with Ian, not you. So, you know, we see the instance in which, you know, when Ginger offers Darren to buy the refreshments, and she even asks on what drink that she wants, and she says pink lemonade, and the movie guy says one straw or two. Ginger says one, and Darren says two, because I guess it's an instance in which, you know, if you're sharing a straw with the person that you love, then that's what it's insinuating. But I don't know. I always thought in, like, movies and cartoons that if you get two straws, you're supposed to be sharing a drink. You know, kind of like in, like, Lady and the Tramp or something, in which they're eating from the same spaghetti and they find the same strand. But, yeah, I mean, I always found that if you were sharing a straw with a person, unless it's somebody that you love, it's kind of like spreading bacteria.
Yeah, I kind of feel the same way, too. It's more of just, like, a hygiene thing, more than anything else, that having multiple straws is convenient, but clearly it's insinuated here that the difference between having one straw and two straws is a very big step in the romantic versus platonic sort of space here.
Yeah, the straw thing is real. I don't think we've talked about Miranda as much as she deserves in this episode. I know it's probably about time to move on soon, but I just want to get my rage out about her.
So yeah, Miranda knows that Ginger has a crush on Ian, but when she kind of sees that her and Darren have been kind of quote-unquote flirting with each other, she wants to encourage Ginger to push into the idea of maybe Darren is the one for you and maybe not Ian. I mean, we even see in the episode when Ginger kind of chalantly talks to Ian, a guy that she really likes, about going to see the movie, and then when Mipsy tells Miranda, look, Ginger practically snubbed Ian Richton, and then she pretty much is really excited about it. It's like, she basically says, like, Fowley is so pliable, and Ian Richton will so belong to me. And we see her trying to get Ian to be more interested in her, even so much in which, when they're watching the movie, Miranda comes up with a plan of holding Ian's hand when there's, like, a scary scene, and that didn't exactly turn out well at the end.
Yeah, there's all sorts of various motives going on from her side and everything. And I Ginger runs out of the theater, and she's like, it's my pituitary gland. Throwback to the beginning of the episode. She just gets so uncomfortable with everything, and everything's overwhelmed, and I do like that we have this real talk between Ginger and Darren where they sort of sort out, like, why she's been acting weird, and that they're open to be able to talk about it, and it's not too uncomfortable
of a conversation, honestly.
Oh, it's so cute. It's like so, it's awkward, but not in a way that was awkward before. It's more naturally awkward, whereas before was so forced. And it's when she tells him that she thought maybe she saw him as more than a friend, he goes, are you serious? And it cracks me up. It was like, randomly, he was like a college frat boy.
So yeah, the episode ends with her, with Ginger and Darren wanting to just stay as friends. And Carl and Hoodsy are really excited about having Blake's tonsils. And yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah, I think that sums up everything. Are we good to go into our yay-nay mess?
I think we are, yeah. I'll kick it off. This one is a yay from me. I think Darren's a strong character. He adds a nice different voice to the show. Like, sometimes I get tired of the same five girls and just the same sort of dynamics all the time, and Darren definitely makes things interesting.
Yeah, I'll follow up. I will also give this one a yay. I think it does a very good job, like I said, of capturing that sort of awkwardness. I feel like it just probably spoke really real to a lot of people. It covers a really real topic in a really not, like, overly cheesy way of this sort of confusing, like, in-between thing. But yeah, yay for me as well.
I have to say the same thing. This is definitely a yay for me because it talks about a subject that's relatable in a way that doesn't feel contrived. It's awkward, but at the same time, you do really relate to it. And there are, you know, there's some really funny moments with Carl and Hoodsy. And at the end of the day, it really teaches that lesson that people can sometimes push you into the idea of maybe your friend is more than just a friend. And sometimes it turns out that way, most of the times it doesn't. So this is one that I think that still holds relevance today.
All right. Well, thank you guys so much for listening. We're having so much fun with this podcast. Check out our forum at weareinbetween.freeforums.net. Follow us at FNN_podcast, the Friday Night Nicktoons podcast. And Patricia will be uploading this to YouTube. I'm trying to think if there's anything else I need to say.
Yes, why don't you promote, Nick Madness?
Oh yeah, yeah, Nick Madness is currently happening. It's really heating up, so go check that out. We've got a bracket on our Twitter page. And, yeah, thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you guys next time with episode 7.